Welcome to The Logstat, the Army's premier podcast on all things sustainment, where we analyze new developments, discuss current trends, and forge the path ahead for the next generation of sustainment soldiers. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of The Logstat. I'm your host, Captain Garrett Pyle. As we continue to move forward in our mini-series from HQDA G4, I can honestly say that I've been looking forward to this conversation since the moment I checked out this new system myself. You're probably asking yourself, what new system's out there? Well, before I get into that, let me paint you a picture then. How many of you have dreaded doing your organizational clothing and individual equipment, OCIE layouts? You're given your clothing record, and you spend more time deciphering what the codes mean for each item than actually even doing the inventorying of your gear. For instance, you may have two different types of gloves that both say gloves, cold weather, and are completely lost which one is which. Someone may say, well, check the tag for the NSN. But since you're in the Arctic, for example, and use your gloves every day, the tags are worn or completely gone. So now what do? I know in the past, I resorted to online searches, which resulted going down so many different rabbit holes, trying to find which item matched the one that was on my record. Or what about trying to make an appointment with your central issue facility, CIF? We've all been there before. Or better yet, trying to navigate the process of getting replacement items that you need. Well, thankfully, I can happily say those days are in the past. The next generation of OCIE management is here and will revolutionize the way soldiers manage their property while increasing readiness across the board. This new system is called Soldier Equipment Asset Management, or SEAM for short. Yes, I personally used this system myself and have greatly enjoyed the experience, but I'm not the subject matter expert by far, and still have a lot of things to learn myself. So returning to the podcast today, to guide us through this revolutionary system, I have with me today Colonel Adam Sable, who is the Division Chief Troop Support at the HQDA G4. Colonel Sable was commissioned in 2002 from Providence College with a bachelor's degree in political science as an engineer. He has served at Fort Stewart, the Joint Base McGee-Dix Lakehurst, Naval Air Station Willow Grove, PA, the 650th Regional Support Group in Las Vegas, Nevada, and the Pentagon with deployments to Iraq and Kuwait. He holds master's degrees in strategic studies from the Army War College and a master's in organizational management from the University of Phoenix. I am so thrilled to have you back on the show today, sir. Welcome.
Garrett, happy to be here. I think it's a stretch telling folks I'm the subject matter expert, but I'll do my best here to kind of give some insight into this new capability that I to kind of piggyback on you, I think is fantastic, awesome, well needed and timely.
Yes, and I'm excited for this because just testing it out myself, I got to see, wow, this is so much more efficient than the old system, especially if you're able to see the way my OCIE is. But I know, as you said, I know I'm not the subject matter expert. I am, you know, not going to give you the full title then, but you know a lot more than me for this one, sir. So what is SEAM?
So the best way to kind of look at it is it is total asset visibility of our organizational clothing and individual equipment. And it replaces the former system of ISM. Everybody probably remembers like ISM, CIF. And they, you know, if you're as old as me, you remember when you would go to your supply sergeant to get your clothing record and you would get it printed off a daisy wheel printer, which probably some of your listeners have no idea what that is. But, you know, the amount of time it would take to print, we could probably do three podcasts. It would come out on this thick paper with like these things you on the sides of each you would like tear off because they were like the edges of like the paper. And then your clothing record was on there. You needed like a telescope to read it. You didn't know what anything was. You probably couldn't even figure it out. So that's one, right? And that gives the soldiers the ability to one, see what they have. This system automates all that. It also, you know, not only does it automate it, it like digitizes it, right? So It enables you to do like transactions. It enables you to do turn-ins. It enables you to do a lot of things. But what it does for the Army, and sitting at the Pentagon level, right, at the strategic level, what we care about is we need to know enterprise-wide reporting. What the heck does the Army have? You know, what do we have? What do we have excess on? What do we have shortages on? What do we need to order more of? What do we need to stop ordering? You know, how does that tie into the industrial base? All those things, which a soldier doesn't really care about. But it really feeds everybody in a sense. Like, it gives us at the highest level what we need, makes a soldier's life so much easier. And I said this on the food podcast, I'll say it again. We were doing stuff super antiquated, and this brings us to the current day.
So yeah, just so excited to see this. And I really hope as we go through this conversation, I really implore the audience to check this out. So you talked about, like, we had these old antiquated systems and kind of like why this was needed. So can you walk us through like the different capabilities and advantages that this new system brings to the warfighter, really from the individual to the commander?
Sure. So for the individual, right? What does an individual soldier care about, right? Individual soldier goes to basic training, goes to AIT, they get their issue, they get their clothing bag, right? They take it with them to their next duty station, their retained issue. Maybe they need some special items when they get there, whatever, they get all this stuff. And it's great, you know, and they don't really care about it, right? They're like, hey, I have my stuff, I'm good. Now soldier either ETSs, maybe soldier PCSs, you know, units doing a layout, units going on a deployment, you know, you name it. And we need to know, what do you have? What does Garrett have? And you're like, you know what? I have no idea. I haven't opened that bag for 100 years. It's sitting in my shed. It's in my car. It's in my closet. I got 3 bags in my garage. You log onto this system, with your CAT card. You know, you go through the PKI token login, just like we do for IPSE and all the other, you know, websites we use. And I could see now, exactly what I have with pictures, right? Pictures, and the pictures show me the pattern. There's a description, there's an NSN. So I can see everything that I'm supposed to have. So what does that enable me to do? Well, let's say I need to inventory my stuff. Okay, I could do that super quickly because I think, you know, I don't know if you said it at the beginning or whatever, you know, something says gloves cold weather. I don't know. What the heck does that mean? I got 6 pairs of gloves. I have no idea what gloves cold weather mean. But now there's a picture, right? And I see them. I'm like, oh, those are the ones. It also shows things for someone like me that's been in for 23 and a half years. It shows things that are no longer, you know, needed, let's say. Like, you know, things that have fallen off your clothing record. Things that, you know, the Army has said, hey, this is end of life. So now I could say, okay, we're not using that anymore. We don't need that anymore. And eventually that will completely fall off the clothing record. It also gives, you know, squad leaders, supply sergeants, company commanders, first sergeants, visibility of what their unit has and doesn't have. So that is super informative. It's in real time. There you can do transactions in the system. So meaning like we have shortages, we can requisition items quickly. And then at the highest level, we can see total asset inventory across the Army. And that really just helps with something that is just so hard to get after and see, and Seam just makes it so much better.
Yeah, I'm actually just pulled up just, you know, as I'm looking through, say we're having this conversation, I was like, let me look at mine, because I, you know, I downloaded my Seam record, and just as you're talking through, it's like I can clearly see, even with the printout, because I know when you're in the system, you can click on the item to see more details of it, and it helps you to better understand what that item is. But then I look at the printout of it, it's showing me, hey, this is what the item is. For instance, like, you know, you got your waterproof bag, shows you a picture. It actually tells you what the description is. You have the NSN number, gives you sizes here, the colors you talked about. even cost, you know? So if you lose it, you know, I guess this is telling me what I'm assuming this is what's how much I would have to pay for if the item was lost.
No, it is. I mean, listen, Garrett, I'm ready to, you know, I'm retiring in January, right? So I gotta turn in my gear, you know, probably sometime this summer. So I went in there and I go, oh my God, you know, I got stuff that I got issued when I was commissioned in 2002. I got RFI, you know, from X deployment. I got more RFI from a deployment I did in 2019. And then I looked at the cost and I was like, geez, I only owe, like, if I don't turn anything in, and listen, I am making a big disclaimer. I do not want soldiers to take what I'm about to say and think this is the answer, because it certainly is not, right? But I was like, if I don't turn anything in, I only owe $4,100. Now, listen, $4,100 is a lot of money. But for the amount of stuff I had and for the years that I had it, I would have, if you told me it was $10,000, I would have believed you. And I was like, oh my goodness. So now, let's say I turn in 95% of it, right? And I'm like missing 5%. Well, now I know, okay, maybe that 5% is going to cost me $300. And now I'm not as stressed, right? Yeah, sure. Am I going to scour every Army clothing, Army Navy store, you know, and try to find the missing item? Maybe. Or maybe I'm just going to say, you know what? I'm good. I understand that I lost this, or, you know, this got misplaced and it's only $300 or whatever. Now I can see that. It informs me. What else it does is it tells me, like I said earlier, what's excess. If I'm doing a deployment, right, it makes pre-deployment checklists so much easier. And then PCS and clearing, just so much easier. And I think for our young soldiers right now that grew up in like the digital age, where technology was a part of their life forever, this is something that is going to be like so welcome to them, because when we talk about the way it used to be or the way that they've seen it prior to seeing, you know, that might've made sense to me, even though I hated it, but it certainly didn't make sense to them.
Exactly. And it's just funny, cause I pull it up and I'm like, I'm looking at my old one compared to my new one. It's like, oh man, it is this night and day being able to figure things out. It's just, it makes it so much more simpler. I know, like you, I'd have to go pull out some bags out of the closet because it's just, everything's all packed up right now. But this would increase my efficiency to do a layout exponentially now because of this new system. So very excited to continue to see how this evolves. And one of the ways, you know, I want to kind of look at this conversation is I saw that SEAM is replacing the Installation Support Module Central Issue Facility, the ISM-CIF, you know, which is the Army's primary legacy system for OCIE management. So that will be sunset by the end of 2026. And what effects is that going to have for us?
None, to be honest with you. The team, you know, the TACOM team, all the folks that have been supporting this, you know, the Army personnel, the civilian professionals, the contractors that are in support. I mean, they've been working this diligently for the last year plus, that the migration has occurred. There's been accuracy checks on it. Nothing is going to, be left off. We will continue to update, you know, behind the scenes, if that makes sense. But this isn't, you know, think of like IPSE, right? IPSE rolled out. Everybody was super scared. They're like, there's no way that IPSE is going to work. You know, there were some hiccups with IPSE, but if I said, how do you do a leave form now? You know, you wouldn't be like, I fill out a DA-31 and I email it to four people for signature. You'd be like, no, I go into, you know, IPSE and I use the PAID dropdown and I route it. And it's usually approved in like 22 seconds or, you know, an hour. And then it automatically feeds DFAS. It works, right? So SEAM is so similar. I think, you know, yeah, maybe a soldier is going to look at their record and they're going to be like, oh, should I have that? Should I have this? All that accuracy, and kind of, we'll say, kind of crosswalk occurred, and is occurring prior to the, you know, the migration.
So then how does this affect CIF then? Like, will they go away?
No, so CIFs won't go away, but CIFs will be modernized. So the Army has been moving towards a storefront concept for a long time. And some installations have storefronts. You might have been to one. Some of the soldiers on here might have been to one. Think of it like, hey, if I need something, like I order it, right? I order it, supply sergeant orders it, and then I go there at a designated time and I pick it up. I know everyone on here gets everything delivered to their house, right? I'm guilty as charged. I love just-in-time logistics. My wife probably would, if she was on here right now, she'd be like, Adam orders way too much stuff, whether it's food or clothing or hygiene products or whatever, groceries. But that's the way of the world, right? So let's say I want, I don't know, I need a new helmet strap. And this might not even be a thing. I might have just made this up, right? Adam Seibel needs a new helmet strap, right? Go in there. I request, I need a new helmet strap. I need new pads for my Kevlar, my ACH or whatever. That comes in. It notifies me, hey, 2:30 in the afternoon, X. I go down to the CIF storefront and I pick up my item, right? For old people that are listening to this, which is probably me and one other person, if you ever had like a PO box at like a post office, or you had a mailbox at a UPS store or whatever, you just, you know, go pick up your item, your package. So similar. Could a supply sergeant do like the transaction for you, meaning they could pick it up? For our guard and reserve partners, that's going to be more of the model, right? Because obviously they're not there every day. So that's totally going to happen. Are CIFs going to exist? Sure. Because we're still going to need bulk issue at certain locations, but they're going to be truncated across the Army to the storefront model.
Wow. It definitely sees, you know, these modernizing changes. That's going to, you know, really advance us and really help with our readiness across the board. So it's good to be able to, you talked about that capability. So now I don't have to go through the process of going to the CIF, going through all this nightmare paperwork to get a new item. I can just go there on the system, request that. Also, when it comes to, and you can just clarify me if I'm wrong, but you can request appointments on the system as well with CIF?
You can.
And that just makes it so much more simpler, because I know back in the day, it was always hard times just trying to get an appointment, trying to go there or call in, like, hey, I need an appointment. And just now it's just so much more simple. You can do it yourself.
Well, and, I mean, and the experience was never good, right, Garrett? Like you talk to people and go, hey, man, you went down to CIF. It was, they came back to you and they're like, that was awesome. You know, like going to CIF in the past was like calling the IRS. Like, you know, you're like, or going to the DMV. You might as well have just like, you know, been like, this is fun. Now it's, listen, those people are great people down there, but there might be like, you know, four of them trying to service X amount of people. It wasn't efficient. It wasn't streamlined. You know, it was analog. I mean, we need to just catch up. I mean, that's the bottom line. We just need to catch up.
And then, so this new system, it's going to be accessible anytime, anywhere through government approved devices, you know, even like approved government cell phones. Are there any thoughts about having like a non-CAC option for people to search for items on their personal devices, something like a Google Lens, where you can like take a photo of an item that you're not sure about and get data on it?
So it's been discussed, right? We understand the bring your own device concept is super lucrative. Like, people love it. I don't think we're there yet. I don't know if we'll get there. I'm hopeful that we will. I think what ends up happening is a lot of times we have apps and we think everyone's going to use these apps, and then folks don't use these apps. And I think part of the reason is because we message it poorly. We have too many apps. We had something that worked before, then doesn't work now. So I don't really know, but I would like to think that this is something that we can evolve into that. And really, we need soldiers' buy-in, right? What do soldiers want? Soldiers spoke up about the food, and soldiers, we're hearing them, we're answering their call. What do soldiers want when it comes to this? Would that make their life easier? You know, for inventory, for just management. And I think as long as we continue to get feedback, we are receptive to change and move forward.
Agree. That's what I keep telling everybody, is to write about your story, send up your feedback, because the Army is listening. And this entire mini series that we've been doing from the G4 office just highlights how the Army has listened and now is innovating with this continuous transformation to bring us the most decisive equipment that's going to really increase our efficiency across the board. So, and when it comes to this new system, how does that really translate for us into increased lethality and readiness?
I mean, the biggest thing probably is, you know, asset visibility, right? So we know what we have, and we can either cross-level it, reposition it, prioritize, anticipate, you know, all these words that I'm kind of throwing out there, but that's kind of what we do, right? If we know we're going somewhere and we know we need something, we shouldn't be looking at it the day of. We shouldn't be looking at it at execution. You know, I think I talked to you about this in the food podcast. I say sustainers have to have a seat at the table. Well, sustainers need to, you know, understand Annex F before it's time to brief Annex F, right? Sustainers need to look at OCIE across the force before we do a layout, before we're doing a deployment, before we're doing a field training exercise, before we're going to a readiness, a center for a rotation. So this enables us to do this. It also puts the onus of responsibility down to the soldier level, to the squad leader level, to the platoon sergeant level, to the platoon leader, company commander. Those are the ones that have to really dig into this and be like, this is what we have, this is what we don't have, this is what we need, this is what we don't need. And if we do that, we build readiness from the ground up. Readiness is never going to be built from the top down. We can help, we can assist, we can do all that stuff, the programmatic stuff, the visibility stuff, but readiness is really driven from the bottom up. And I think this gives some ownership and initiative to those young soldiers in those formations, and it makes their life easier.
So is there anything else that we missed today that you want to highlight to the community when it comes to SEAM?
Be patient. There's phases on this rolling out. So it's live now. So you can, you know, SEAM, right? I don't have the exact website with me, you know, right now. Garrett, make sure, please post that in the podcast. Let them know. Log in with your CAC card, you know, use your PKI token. Take a look at what you got and you know, use the system. Get smart with it. We want it to help you.
And exactly. The link will be in the show notes for anyone out there. You're able to go check this system out. And you had some great advice on the last podcast when we talked about food. Do you have any other good additional advice for the sustainment community?
I'm not going to repeat myself, right? I think, you know, the biggest thing that I would say beyond, you know, what I said on the previous one is stay relevant. And what I mean by that is, you know, do the work, right? Understand what your subordinates need, understand what your bosses need. Someone said to me a long time ago, if it interests your boss, it should fascinate you. I think that's a really good kind of adage to take. Learn your boss's job, and make your soldiers and your leaders below you learn your job. I'm going to tell you right now, in full transparency, right? I'm on 45 days convalescent leave. I had spinal fusion. I had back surgery. I have three lieutenant colonels that work for me. And I would say to you right now, Garrett, if I never went back to the Pentagon, to my job, the show would go on. They are doing wonderful. And to me, that just says I've done my job. They've done their job. And that's what you want, right? You just want to do that. You don't want to be like the single person that's like, if I'm not there, it will fail. And there's a lot of people that have that mindset. I think that's like a maturity thing as you grow. I don't care what job you're in. I don't care what grade you are. I think that's just a good piece of advice. And always be humble and have humility, right? Be able to realize you could be a colonel. You could talk to a PFC. I've seen the best leaders in the world be relatable and be humble. And I think if you do that, you know, you'll be successful at whatever you do, whether it's the Army or whether it's, you know, something else in life. My advice for the day.
Well, thank you for that, sir. No, it's great being able to be a humble leader. That's just so vital to being, especially in today's world, a clear and concise leader. It's going to go out there, lead from the front, be a servant leader. And as you said, like, you don't want to be the single point of failure in any job that you're in. Like, you want to be able to train those below you and be able to take the job for those above you, if need be. So where can people find you at if you have any additional follow-up questions? I know you mentioned it last episode, but where can people find you at?
So, Garrett, I'm in the global, you know, S-E-I-B-E-L, first name's Adam. I'm the only one. I have a LinkedIn profile, you know, reach out. I have some limited social media, reach out. I'd be glad to connect with anybody and, you know, provide any kind of feedback, advice, help, resource, that I can. And also, Garrett, I wanted you to know I'm available to you. You know, if you want to do anything more in the future, what have you, I'm glad to assist, glad to help. And if I'm not the right person, I would get you the right person. And that goes out to the audience too. You know, if you reach out to me and I'm not the right person, I will get you in touch with the right person.
Thank you very much for that, sir. It's been a pleasure having you on these two episodes. Just be able to take your wisdom, really tell it out to the community. So thank you for that. And I know this topic today is one of those that's going to impact everyone in the force directly, no matter what branch or rank. Like, the gear we have and the way we manage it's a pillar to our overall readiness, as we talked about. We now have the ability to effectively manage that gear and put it back into the hands of the soldiers. So I just want to really thank you, sir, for coming on the show again today and just highlighting this amazing new capability. I'm just excited to see how it'll continue to develop in the future. And just once again, thank you.
Garrett, glad to do it. Thanks for what you do. You know, this is awesome that you do this out of your time to get soldiers information in a relevant way. And, you know, just good luck to you. And, you know, thank you for what you do. And, you know, I just wish you well in all your endeavors.
Well, thank you very much, sir. And if this is your first time hearing about this new system, then I highly implore you to check it out at the end of this episode. The CAC-enabled link will be found in the show notes. If you have any feedback on the system when you start testing it out, then be sure to send it up. The Army is listening and wants to hear your feedback so we can continue to develop the most lethal and cutting-edge systems for the warfighter. But that is all we have today, folks. As always, Sustainable Leaders Start Here. See you next time. Thank you for listening to another episode of The Logstat. We hope you enjoyed today's conversation. Please share this episode across your formation and leave us a review. If you have a topic you'd like here discussed, then please reach out to us at armysustainment@army.mil or directly to me on Global at garrett.h.pyle. Follow us on Facebook, X, and LinkedIn at Army Sustainment. We'll see you next time. Sustainment leaders start here.